The digital experiences we encounter daily, from apps to websites, aren't just about aesthetics or functionality. They're psychological interfaces designed to work with or against the natural tendencies of our minds. Susan Wineshank's groundbreaking work reveals that successful design isn't about what looks good, but what feels intuitive to our brains. Our minds didn't evolve for digital interfaces. They evolved for survival in natural environments. Yet understanding these evolutionary patterns helps explain why certain designs captivate us while others frustrate us to the point of abandonment. When you tap an app icon expecting an immediate response but encounter a delay, the disappointment you feel isn't just impatience, it's a neurological reaction. Your brain predicted a specific outcome and received something different, triggering a cascade of negative emotions. This gap between expectation and reality lies at the heart of user experience. The most successful designs aren't necessarily the most beautiful or feature-rich. They're the ones that align seamlessly with our psychological wiring. What you see isn't what's actually there. Your brain actively constructs your visual experience, filling in gaps and making educated guesses based on past experiences. Your pattern recognition system often jumps to conclusions before gathering all evidence. Vision is active construction, not passive reception. Your visual cortex processes fragments of information and creates a coherent picture based on expectations. The Kanitsa triangle demonstrates this. You perceive a white triangle that doesn't physically exist because your brain completes the pattern. Our brains are efficient pattern-matching machines that instantly recognize familiar shapes, faces, and arrangements rather than analyzing every visual element individually. This survival-evolved ability now powers our digital interactions. We recognize about 24 basic geometric components, called geons, that form the building blocks of all objects. Faces receive special processing through the fusiform face area, enabling instant recognition and interpretation of expressions. This explains why interfaces with human faces grab attention and why we anthropomorphize simple arrangements of circles and lines. Eye-tracking studies show we naturally follow the gaze direction of faces in images. For designers, these insights enable strategic use of visual hierarchy. Large elements grab attention before small ones, high-contrast items stand out, and movement captures attention automatically, explaining why animated ads are so distracting even when you're trying to ignore them. Your attention is your most precious and limited cognitive resource. Your brain can focus on only one cognitive task at a time. What feels like multitasking is actually rapid task switching with significant performance costs. This limitation explains the gorilla experiment, where 50% of viewers counting basketball passes miss a person in a gorilla costume walking through. When focused on specific tasks, we filter out vast amounts of visual information, even unusual events happening right before us. This selective attention applies to screen interactions too. Users frequently miss interface updates when focused elsewhere. Even dramatic changes can go unnoticed during screen refreshes or when concentrating on specific tasks. Color combinations also impact attention. Red and blue elements together create chromostereopsis, an optical effect where colors appear at different depths, causing visual strain. Additionally, about 9% of men have some form of color deficiency, mostly affecting distinction between reds, yellows, and greens. For effective design, never assume users will notice changes automatically. Add visual or auditory cues for important updates. Avoid placing red and blue elements adjacent to each other. Implement redundant coding schemes that combine color with pattern or texture to ensure information remains accessible to everyone. Our working memory holds just 3 to 4 items simultaneously, not the commonly cited 7 ± 2. This explains why phone numbers are chunked and why we struggle with multiple information pieces. Memory isn't stored like computer files, but reconstructed with each recall, changing subtly each time. Elizabeth Loftus showed how easily memories can be manipulated. Simply changing hit to smashed when describing an accident altered speed estimates and even created false memories of broken glass. Forgetting isn't a flaw, but a necessary feature preventing us from being overwhelmed by lifetime sensory inputs. Hermann Ebbinghaus's forgetting curve shows memories rapidly degrade unless reinforced through repetition or connected to existing knowledge. These limitations suggest clear design principles. Provide information at the point of need, break content into manageable chunks, use progressive disclosure, and favor recognition over recall through drop-down menus, autocomplete fields, and visual cues. The best designs work with our memory constraints rather than against them. Humans are inherently social beings with brain regions specialized for social processing. During conversations, our brains synchronize with speakers through neural coupling, explaining why audio and video create deeper understanding than text. Our brains process information about friends and strangers differently. The medial prefrontal cortex activates when thinking about friends, but remains inactive with strangers, even those sharing interests. This suggests platforms connecting existing relationships generate more engagement than those linking strangers with common interests. Online interactions follow the same social expectations as face-to-face encounters. Unresponsive websites, premature personal information requests, or failure to remember previous interactions create the same discomfort as awkward human conversations. Social proof significantly influences decision-making. While expert opinions matter, reviews from regular people like me prove most influential. Amazon's review system works because when uncertain about purchases, we naturally look to others' experiences for guidance. Despite our self-image as rational beings, emotions fundamentally drive our decision-making. People with damaged emotion-processing brain regions struggle with even simple decisions, proving feelings' essential role in choices. Our brains respond strongly to specific emotional triggers. Unexpected experiences activate the nucleus accumbens more intensely than predictable ones, explaining why strategic surprise and design is neurologically rewarding. Music creates another powerful emotional pathway. Brain scans show personally meaningful music releases dopamine, the same neurotransmitter involved in pleasure from food or sex. Different brain regions activate during anticipation versus actual listening, creating a reward system that increases engagement and return visits. For designers, these emotional mechanisms are valuable tools. Combining facts with stories engages multiple brain regions for stronger recall. Customizable music options leverage the dopamine system, while natural imagery reduces cognitive strain and improves well-being. The most effective designs embrace our cognitive limitations rather than fighting against them. We have specific strengths and constraints, limited attention spans, inability to truly multitask, automatic attention triggers, and cognitive deterioration under stress. The best designs provide just enough information at the right time, leverage our pattern recognition abilities without overwhelming working memory, and acknowledge our social nature and emotional decision-making. When we design with human psychology in mind, technology becomes an extension of ourselves rather than an obstacle. The most intuitive interfaces aren't necessarily the simplest. They're the ones that align with how we naturally think, feel, and behave. Understanding these psychological principles creates technology that truly serves human needs.